This week, silver blasted to the highest point in 2 years, briefly topping $21, while the precious metal shares also flew to a record. Chris Waltzek back with you again this weekend. The sixth week precious metals market advance continued with conviction as investors in the EU poured funds into the metals safe haven amid uncertainty stemming from the Brexit. Joining me in this week's show, three top guests, including Joseph Grosso. He makes his debut appearance on the show. The Golden Arrow Executive Chairman, CEO, and President, Senior Vice President, has a CV that reads like a modern-day Marco Polo. He started from humble beginnings in his country of Italy, emigrated across the world, built a business empire through trade with Asia, and now he started another empire in the mining business. Headquartered in Vancouver, Canada, Golden Arrow is an explorer and a prospect generator, and a favorite of Gold Seek's Gold Stock analysts. Then Bill Murphy from GATA returns to the show with his latest insights on the precious metals sector. Unfortunately, he was woken this morning by the sound of arms fire near his home in Dallas, near the tragic ground zero of that sniper shooting. So we're going to take a moment of silence here for the 11 families of downed officers and the five who were critically wounded. Our guest notes the positive reversal in the price action of gold and silver, and we agree that if silver can hold $20, we could run to $25 to $26. And Peter Schiff, chairman of Schiff Gold, returns to the show. He says hedge funds were net short for the first time on the precious metals coming into this year, and that set the stage for an explosive rally. He's talking about some big numbers that our precious metals aficionados will just love to hear, $100, $200 silver, and he outlines how it might come to pass. And if it sounds like bravado, just take a look at his Europac Gold Fund up over 100% this year, and then his Europac International Value Stock Fund, which is tops in its category. And Robert Ian brings all the runners across home plate, wrapping up the show. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Visibility still unlimited in the precious metals sector for the sixth week running on continued portfolio adjustments following the Brexit announcement. By Friday's close, the yellow metal was up $22.50, adding 1.67% for the week, finishing at $13.67. Nevertheless, silver once again blasting higher 50 cents, the best point in about 2 years, up 2.5%. While the XAU shares finished up even better, another 4.6%, adding 4.7 points, finishing at 107.2. Precious metals shares are obviously benefiting from the trend of not only the stock market rally, but the metals as well, approaching the 200% gain peak to trough point in just 6 months. West Texas Intermediate crude, however, fell slightly, $1.29, closing just above $45.40 per barrel, off about 4 points, 8% for the week. A key story driving the metals higher continued portfolio adjustments by institutions and investors following the Brexit vote. Gold has added nearly 30% for the year, silver up about 50% amid safe haven demand following, again, that uncertainty in the EU. According to a Labor Department report, June's employment figures showed an increase of 287,000 jobs. That's the best reading of the year, and more than 100,000 above the three-month average of 147,000. In addition, Bloomberg noted that funds are flowing into gold ETFs at a record clip, as noted by Bank of America and Merrill Lynch, that showed $4.1 billion poured into the precious metals funds. That's the best reading in 11 years. Precious metals bottom line. Clearly a remarkable week for the precious metals, six of them, in fact. In particular, silver and the XAU, which both appear to have further to go amid U.S. dollar strength. As long as the XAU keeps leading the way, bullion will likely follow. However, it is important to note that the strong employment report boosted the U.S. dollar, which might at some point offer some resistance. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, sunny skies persisted over the New York Stock Exchange for the second week running on news of better-than-expected employment numbers. More jobs tends to translate into fatter wallets and pocketbooks, increased spending, and robust corporate profits. The net effect, combined with virtually no threat of a Fed rate hike for the next 12 months, was the financial dynamite needed to send shares flying. The Dow Jones Industrials added nearly 200 points, 1.1% for the week, 18,147. Was its closing number. The S&P 500 picked up 27, 1.3%, ending at 21.29, while the NASDAQ added about 94, around 2%, finishing at 49.56. Meanwhile, according to the latest Federal Reserve FOMC meeting minutes, policymakers are monitoring the domestic economy for signs of strength before following through with additional rate hikes. The current Fed Funds futures contract indicates very low odds of a rate hike for the remainder of this year and well into 2017. Most likely, the thinking is that officials wish to insulate the economy from the uncertainty surrounding the upcoming November election, as well as question marks stemming from the European Union. Bottom line on Wall Street. Volatility continued to collapse this week, as one would expect, while the Fear and Greed Index is showing signs of extreme greed, which suggests that while there could be a breakout in the coming weeks, it may also lead to a broadening pattern false breakout. So I think caution is advisable. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio with three big guests for you this week. We'd like for you to stay with us right here. Today's featured guest, Joseph Grosso, Executive Chairman, CEO, and President of Golden Arrow Resources Corporation and the Grosso Group. It's a pleasure to welcome Joseph Grosso, Executive Chairman, CEO, President, Golden Arrow Resources Corporation, in his debut appearance on our show. Headquartered in Vancouver, Canada, Golden Arrow, an explorer and prospect generator focused on identifying, acquiring, and advancing precious and base metal discoveries through high-quality deposits. Golden Arrow is a member of the Grosso Group, a management company specialized in resource exploration. And at the helm of the Grosso Group, welcome to the show, President Grosso.
I am only sorry that my debut is not at La Scala in Milano singing an opera, but I am flattered and very grateful to make a debut on Gold Seek Radio.
We'd be honored to have you sing any piece that you'd like today at the end of the show.
I always spare you totally. I'm still practicing and developing my voice.
It's so good to have you with us today. I thought it might be interesting for you to outline your professional background and highlight what directed you to this exciting opportunity at Golden Arrow, please.
You'll have to pardon me if I introduce myself. Obviously, I am the motivator and the motor of the idea of going to Argentina. I would like to explain why Argentina. One of the things is that Argentina has a resident 42% Italian extraction. And so with my wife has a sister for many years, and so do I. We were visiting the company when the opportunity came, which I recognized very quickly. Well, how did I recognize it or the opportunity? My personal background comes from a family long in the fashion industry in the surrounding of Rome, Italy, since 1782. Continuing in my family tradition, I immigrated in Canada in 1959 to open up Canada with my profession as a clothier and family tradition. I developed a manufacturing industry in Vancouver, Canada, and very fast I outgrew it. And I had to seek for additional supply going to Hong Kong, Korea, Bucharest, Romania, and Vancouver, Canada, obviously, for a total amount of close to 900 people I had in my domain. So this definitely exposed me to different languages, people, culture, respect for in foreign countries. So 1982, as everybody might remember, with a 22-23% interest rates, it definitely caused me to make a change in profession, sold my empire in 1985, and decided to visit after a long wait by our sisters in Argentina, which I did. When we arrived in 1993, my family introduced me to the neighbors, and voila, it's a question of who do you know and what is an opportunity, and do you recognize that opportunity? The opportunity came by meeting Dr. Vicente Mendez, chief geologist for the country and professor at the University of Buenos Aires, PhD with a long and knowledgeable experience of his country. Well, when I met him coming from Vancouver, which is really the capital of the junior exploration market of the world, the question was quite logical. Dr. Mendez, what's happening in Argentina? And he appeared dejected, but very professional in his reply. And he said, well, Joe, nothing's happened in Argentina. And he pointed very quickly on a piece of paper. He said, here is Chile, who we share 4,000 plus kilometer of borders. Look what they have. They have the top producer, top company, one of the best to develop the country in mining industry, immediately west of Argentina, which is the largest country in the world with a huge potential geology. And we have done nothing under the dictatorship of Perón up to now. Well, I quickly asked, jokingly, I said, Dr. Mendez, do you feel that God stopped all the geology in Chile, which is west, and it does not come east? Or with a smile and a very hopeful attitude on his face, he said, Joe, no, that's not possible. Well, here comes Joe Grosso, the entrepreneur, looking at an opportunity which was in my face to recognize. I asked Dr. Mendez to subsequently to our social encounter to meet and speak about the mining potential in Argentina. We, within a week, decided that he would quit his job with the now caught in the privatization of after the regime of Perón, and he actually was losing a job with our company. So I hired him as the chief geologist and president of the company, and I started a company called the MASA. M-A-S-A, which we started accumulating a comprehensive portfolio of property immediately east of Chile, very much either contiguous to or in extremely close proximity to all the major developments on the west side in Chile. And we accumulated some 465,000 acres of property, which we currently own and fully paid. So this obviously became the strategy for the future, which the Grosso Group developed, invested in the development of our portfolio, came up with three major discoveries. The first one in 1998. That one, as a matter of fact, was purchased and now managed by Yamana Gold since 98, and we retained a royalty on it. In 2004, we discovered Navidad, which now is owned by Pan American, Ross Beatty. That was a silver discovery, which is one of the largest in the world, with 1.1 billion ounces of silver, and is being put in production by Pan American at the cost of $2.5 billion. The third one came very late. I would like you to note that the distance between the discoveries and discoveries is very notable, and that really confirms how rare discoveries are in either precious metal, silver, gold, or other discoveries. They're very, very rare. So Chinchilla was discovered in 2012. It's currently owned 100% by Golden Arrow. We discovered the Chinchilla. We own 100%. We're a junior company with no experience in production. So what was ahead of us was developing the project with a potential future need of a $300 million investment, U.S., to develop all the infrastructure necessary to be in production and to in order to install, after raising the $300 million, the infrastructure required to bring a chinchilla to production. Definitely a bitter, sweet, gorgeous potential value, but with the need of the production experience and facility. And this is extremely rare and important. We discovered that 21 miles, same altitude, there was a company called Pirquita Silver, owned by and operated by Silver Standard. Silver Standard was in the process of declaring the end of the production after 6 years of production in Pirquita. They will announce that the project has to shut down. And obviously, their void, major void, was that they have the experience, the infrastructure, fully functional, which was going to come to a halt within a year. And that halt basically decimated the value of the infrastructure. What do you do with equipment at the altitude of 5,000 meters and no place to go? So that value that Silver Standard had in their infrastructure, they were facing, in addition to the loss of the great value, but they were facing a closure reclamation, international rule, which would cost them an additional $40 to $70 million. Here comes the synergy, absolutely spectacular, where we needed the infrastructure, the experience, which would have taken about 6 or 7 years to build up. Here it was, sitting 21 kilometers away. I encouraged a meeting with the president of Silver Standard to discuss what I saw a potential synergy in joining the two projects. Since then, has passed almost a year and a half, starting from initial discussion, visitation of properties from their junior, senior technical people, and ultimately, a few months ago, directors, which are ex-producers, which are on the board of Silver Standard, visited the property. And obviously, September 29, after a long agreement that we negotiated a potential option for them to acquire, they committed to spend $12 million U.S. The combination of technical people, one on our side on the exploration, and their mining engineering senior member, have worked harmoniously well. And we are a very long way in spending their commitment on a chinchilla. And they have advanced chinchilla substantially from a resource project towards feasibility study and implementation. Of course, their interest was first and foremost, how do we continue subsidizing from the chinchilla project the Pirquita mining infrastructure? That it's all done, all studied, and the engineering of the integration is underway. We are continuing to be very excited about the potential of this option being exercised. The management president of Silver Standard has repeatedly put in the press that the exercise of the option is unavoidable, most welcome, because, first of all, from the most approximate mineralization to their Pirquita would extend the life of Pirquita production line by 9 years. But then there is also the opportunity that as joint ventures or a merged company could continue on regionally with the immense potential that chinchilla continues to have in the region for several decades. So we, Golden Arrow, obviously, and the shareholders are delighted and proud to reach this stage with one of the most respected silver producer in the world, and now going into gold as well. But our silver merger, it seems, from my perspective, to be totally unavoidable, and it's getting very close. So we consider this merger to become a major value and an achievement for a junior company like Golden Arrow, which has traded for most years totally in obscurity, in very, very low prices, totally with the industry and the economy being what has been for the last 5-6 years. The value was not recognized by a dwindling market. And I feel right now that the market is taking great notice of our project, and it is slowly going up toward what a proper evaluation by the general market should be. There's lots of room up top of values, which include the values will include that with the base of the merger of the two will be an extremely great financial and value base to continue our discoveries with our own portfolio, but as well taking advantage of the turnaround of Argentina being now one of the best destinations created by the new government incentives, silver prices improving. So we're looking forward to continue in the pursuit of more discoveries with our very valuable land position that we have. We are obviously in conjunction with our joint venture or our merger. We will have the opportunity of developing our remaining projects and portfolio, which Golden Arrow continues to own 100% and fully paid, absolutely fully paid. This is the excitement. This is the plan. Continue our development. In the meantime, I must say very humbly that perhaps stemming from a modest background when I was a child in Italy, I recognized very quickly the desire and the need, the dire need of remote villages which are very close to our projects. And I've worked very, very close with them, giving them the pride of their culture, the assurance of our respect for their need and fears, and contributing to the local necessities of their village. This has lasted 23 years. Our totally unscarred, fantastic record of getting along with a very stringent Grosso Group management, modern criteria of respect for environment, cultures, First Nations. We are continuing, and we were nominated 4 times with awards, national awards, for being one of the best junior foreign company management in Argentina. On the plan of what is Golden Arrow doing, obviously, as a businessman and not a technical person, I recognize that we have to expand our shareholder base. And our shareholder base was very extremely modest up to a few months ago. And we decided to tell our story, which makes me extremely grateful for the opportunity that Gold Seek Radio is giving me in order to expand that shareholder base. We have added a listing which currently is in force as an OTCQB venture, and therefore we will add to a Canadian 10% of audience and 90% south of the border, which gives us the depth and hopefully the interest of added shareholders who will continue to believe in our management expertise, the opportunity of the mining, which seems to be much more hopeful, and I hope it will continue, and a renewed destination in Argentina, which is incredible, what a right-side, business-oriented government can do. This is pretty well our story. Obviously, with 23 years contiguous in Argentina, we have developed friends, admirers, partners, and we are strongly positioned to take advantage of looking at vastly devalued projects that we have selected, and in conjunction and in priority to fostering our conclusion with Silver Standard, we will continue our growth on our own accord and in conjunction with. This is my story, and I'm open for questions that I may not have answered.
I would like to underscore just a few points here for our investors. Firstly, it's admirable the efforts you've made to preserve and encourage the local cultures. What good does it do an investor to inherit the whole world but lose themselves in the process? So this is, I think, an oftentimes overlooked and appreciated aspect of the Grosso Group. And another interesting aspect, your Chinchillas project, the synergies you're developing with Silver Standard, you've covered that so closely, but we didn't really cover the other province where you have three other properties, all of which, I might add, are 100% owned by the Grosso Group, by Golden Arrow, that is. And I thought you might want to discuss, you know, the Don Bosco copper gold project.
We are located in several provinces. Each province can only have a token of staking or property ownership. Now, we started with San Dimendes by acquiring our properties principally east of Chile, contiguous to or in close proximity to Veladero, which is owned by Barrick and been in production for many years and is one of the biggest deposits of gold, which is in Argentina. Pascualama, which is in the process of being put in production with some difficulties, but they are. We are the continuing properties. Now, Pascualama, as you know, Barrick will be spending $9.5 billion to put it in production. So these are huge. And we have many properties which are lined up in the High Cordillera. This property in the High Cordillera is extremely expensive to be affordable by a junior company like us. And there are incredibly big potential that we are hoping to joint venture with major companies, and we are negotiating with 6 or 7 major companies, but we have not closed a deal as yet due to the economy and mining up to now. The other properties are more in the lower altitude, consists of the Don Bosco, which is in La Rioja. Great, great project, and I'm not going to go into the technical potential of these because I'm not a technical person and I have zero credibility, but I do have, and I hope, I beg you, Chris, to have a second part of this interview by having our technical people go in and describe one of the best portfolio of property that we have, which is spread into several provinces. We have as many as 50 or 60 title owners of incredibly located projects that need to be developed, but definitely also we need a mining financing climate in order to do that. So we can go on forever describing a portfolio that was staked principally, but a very early stage when we were a true pioneer of the getting mining going in Argentina. Argentina was always kind of opposing anything Chile did, because of borders dispute between them. Argentina stayed away from whatever Chile was doing wrongly. they developed an agriculture, meat industry, wine, and of late, since 1993, mining has been bashfully aggressed through our efforts and others. Unfortunately, there was a change of government which put Argentina away, disincentivized investment in Argentina through high taxes. However, that lasted 11 years. I am obviously delighted to see that not only the portfolio that we have in Golden Arrow has a new opportunity. It's a new dawn for us. It's a new dawn because of the prices are definitely going the right direction in silver and gold, and eventually base metal, eventually. So I do not know how I can singly pick up one of the dozens of properties that we have. Puerto Rico is contiguous to Veladero, Rio de las Aguas. We have given the right to access to their property to Barrick through Rio de las Aguas and given them our water. We are definitely fully integrated and very happy to see a change of government posture and really incentivizing new company to come to Argentina. And I have been an ambassador of Argentina potential in mining for 23 years. And Chris, I would like to explain my voice. This is not my normal voice. I have returned to a cooler Vancouver from an extensive working out of Naples, Florida, with my staff in Argentina, which are very much closer to me. So I'm returning to a very cold Vancouver. So my voice is not the same. It's my voice is a lot clearer. My Italian accent and my singing career is still lagging. They don't seem to be advancing too much. But my enthusiasm is with Golden Arrow, the shareholder, and looking for soon to have new discoveries.
I hope our listeners will find out more about Golden Arrow Resources Corporation. They're encouraged to direct their web browsers to goldenarrowresources.com. And your ticker symbol, at least in this local area, GRG.V. You can also type that in, just Golden Arrow if you'd like, and Golden Arrow Resources to find out more. President Grasso, thanks so much for taking time from your busy schedule to outline this interesting opportunity at Golden Arrow Resources.
Your listener can make it a lot easier than having to call Vancouver, because from this point on, we are listed on OTCQB Venture, and they can call their broker, permitted to buy, discuss, and even under whatever they want, recommend. So they got this facility now in the United States. We are OTC listed. OTCQB Venture. Your broker will be able to help you if you give them. Chris, I only have one major desire, that this discussion is not an exclusive Cold Seek Radio, which I will always be very grateful to give me the valuable time.
President Grasso, we're just delighted and honored to have you with us today. You're always welcome on the show, and we'll look forward to your return when your voice has fully reestablished itself, keeping with your heritage as well as the local language. You know, grazie, arrivederci, and y adios y gracias, Presidente.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Phil Murphy at the helm of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, GATA, with Chris Powell working on behalf of all investors, exposing the markets and those behind the markets, in particular the precious metals sector. Welcome back, Bill Murphy.
Great to be here, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Gunshots woke you up this morning. I mean, there was just a tragedy. 11 police officials downed, at least 5 critically wounded. Just a terrible event there. And you, again, at ground zero, just like the Ebola case in Dallas. Tell us more.
Well, unfortunately, my windows were open. I only live a short ways away from there. I swear I heard some noise and turned on the TV and saw all the reports. And, of course, it's obviously a terrible tragedy and a nightmare. And it's just awful.
Well, you know, it is awful, and it's just stunning. I think history shows us this type of violent revolt, if you will. For the most part, it backfires. You know, modern India and so many other examples where nonviolent methods overturned the powers that be. And that's what we appreciate about GATA, because you're overturning the powers that be nonviolently. And it has been a violent, though, reaction in the markets. We've seen that on the upside for the precious metals. Tell us more.
Well, today is one of the most unusual days of our 17 years of taking on this gold cartel and watching the action. And obviously, a lot of people know that, you know, follow what you do, that the gold cartel has all-time short positions in gold and close to it right off the high in silver. And specs are taking them on. And you've had gold and silver move up, and you've had incredible action at night at times with spiking gold after Brexit and then silver, and they've had it, you know, under pressure. And today, when they got supposedly bearish news for gold and silver with a good jobs report, and gold dropped $25 and silver dropped 50 cents, and it looked like the usual liquidation process, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, gold rallied, took all the losses back, and went up in a day, rallied $35. Silver went from 19 to over 20. And you could tell that the calls went out from gold cartel headquarters to calm things down, because this just never, ever, never happens. And somebody, the big opponents, are taking these guys on, and they're not afraid of them anymore, and they have their hands full. And if I may, what was noticeable on the first dip was that it was supposedly this great news, but the dollar didn't react at all, and interest rates, which have plummeted to all-time lows, didn't move up. Well, that just didn't make any sense at all. And sure enough, gold and silver did what they did. And now you've got a real battle on your hands, and we'll see how the day turns out. But most importantly, it set the stage for an incredible summer coming up instead of the same old that we go through with these guys, and they have their hands full.
One of the neat aspects of your story there, silver has remarkable support, and its 200-day moving average, I'm sure you've seen, right around that $20 level. And if it can close solidly on a weekly basis, probably 2, 3, 4 weeks, I'd say just slightly above or in that region, you know, it could pick up momentum just like the XAU did for a dash towards that 25, 26 resistance. That's huge resistance. Katie, bar the doors if we overcome that.
Well, you know, maybe for my last conversation, my key, and for a lot of people, my beat was 1850. And I said it would explode if silver was able to complete a massive two-year bottom. And sure enough, it took out 1850, and it was days later, went to 2113. And it just exploded, and the gold cartel and J.P. Morgan in a total panic and twitch trying to calm things down. And again, today, and what we've seen, they're making efforts, but they're in big trouble. And if I'm correct, and put this forth when the silver was at 17, that there's some big new money and it's people that are taking these guys on. And the bad guys have won year after year and flushed the specs out, but somebody, big players, but not only they're going after the futures market, but they're tying up supply at the same time gradually, and it's going to force J.P. Morgan and the rest of that gang to retreat. And that when silver starts to make its move, or is in the process of doing so, it's going to move up to 50. This time much faster than it did in 2011.
I invited a guest onto the show, a remarkably successful hedge fund manager. He lives in Hong Kong. Done so well, he just sold his hedge fund. He was long the precious metals solidly for a decade until the peak. And he was one of the few people to come on this show and say, Chris, I am so, so sorry to say this, but we're going to have a tough 5 years. We've got to let some steam out of this. And in confidence, he just said, Chris, the trend has changed. And we're going to stay long for quite some time in the precious metals. you know, you're dealing with the big players, you know, and they see what's happening. And maybe it's a tired cliche for those of us in the precious metals community, but outside, I don't think people realize just how small this market is. I mean, if Warren Buffett could corner the silver market with a tiny fraction of money, imagine what just a handful of the other hundreds of billionaires around the world could do. Maybe a Russian oil magnate or a Saudi Arabian oil king or something of that nature. I mean, it wouldn't take much, I think, to just upset their playbook.
Well, I think that's a good point. And that is my whole point, actually. And I think to get the job done and keep silver down, the J.P. Morgan gang and the bad guys have gone through a lot of the physical supply that was available to get the job done. And I think these big people know that they're working on fumes. And they're tying up this supply, and they're mega long the futures market. And this is why we're starting to get these tremors on the upside, which we haven't seen in a long time. And I think it's just the beginning of the kind of price action we're going to see on the upside, which in silver is likely, in my opinion, to be, it will be unprecedented in the sense of the kind of action that we're going to see on the upside. And I'm either right or dead wrong. We'll see. But we've seen the first signs of it since 17. And you're right, 25 ought to be the next stop.
Talking to really the greats in the field and big stars like yourself and Peter Schiff just the other day, he gets the themes, the trends right. And that's where the money is, you know, as Livermore put it. I mean, all you need is that 60% in the middle and, you know, you can retire like Jim Rogers in Singapore. Peter Schiff outlined, underscored, highlighted, and emboldened everything you just said. People have got to stop thinking about $50. On silver, because he says that was yesterday's target. He said we had a double top at 50. And if you think about it, that could give us an unbelievable cup and handle. O'Neill, I think it was, of Investors Business Daily, or what we also refer to as an inverted head and shoulder, which what brought me into the XAU way back in 2002, 2003. If we get that, you know, the $50 point becomes the neckline, and it just takes basic math to say you're looking at triple digits. Schiff says, why stop there? Why think only about 100? He's talking 200 plus. You know, we've got this 70-1 gold to silver ratio, but the natural mineralization, as all our listeners know now, is around 1-10. You know, even if we get in the neighborhood of 1-20, 1-30, you've got a slingshot effect on silver.
I agree. I mean, I think 50 is going to be taken out, and you're going to head towards 100, and then who knows what it could do. And my bet is that the bad guys, once again, have gone through that physical supply to get the job done at these artificially low price levels, and the process towards going to 100 has started.
All right. Well, Bill Murphy, as we wrap up here today, any parting comments for the listeners, things they need to keep on their radar screen, please?
Well, the most important thing, it's not going to be a dull summer. We saw that today, and that's the exciting thing. The forces are building up enough to take on the gold cartel forces, and that's a big, big deal as we go through the year, and that's a very exciting prospect.
It has been an exciting market already this year. That's just what you tend to see, the explosions on the upside instead of the downside. And the bulls are back in charge. So let's hope the stampede continues here. Well, Bill Murphy, we appreciate your thoughts. Please tell folks more about Gata and La Metropole Cafe.
Chris Powell does a great job with Gata, and they can sign up and go to gata.org and hear what Chris puts out there. And I write a commentary every day and have a bunch of other stuff at La Metropole Cafe, and people can sign up for a 2-week free trial and see if it's a value.
Have a great weekend, and we appreciate you making time for us today.
Thank you, Chris.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources, based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
Goldseek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Peter Schiff, chairman of Schiff Gold, schiffgold.com, author of several bestsellers and radio host. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for welcoming me back.
Well, plans for a Puerto Rican beach condo visit this year, or is it too hot right now?
No, I'm not living in Puerto Rico yet. I have a business there and I have property there, but I still live mainly in Connecticut, and that's where I am. I probably won't be back in Puerto Rico till the winter. but it's kind of nice right now, just in New England.
After making so many positive calls on the precious metals sector, you're obviously feeling a bit vindicated. Silver spiking into record territory over the past couple of years, up 1 point over $21 an ounce. Give us an idea of why this is happening and what your thoughts are on the metals, please.
Remember, silver prices got up to $50 back in 2011. In fact, they were at $50 in 1980. So adjust that for inflation. We still have a ways to go. At the end of the year, coming into this year, it was the first time ever that hedge funds were net short. So that had never happened, although there may have been other things that hedge funds collectively were more short than they were short the metals. But the fact that hedge funds were even shorting gold. And I remember I was watching CNBC late last year, early this year, and you just hear somebody talk in their book about, you know, what they had, and they would all of a sudden they say, oh, and we're short gold. I mean, like a matter of fact, like so many people that probably never thought about trading gold were short. It was like a foregone conclusion that the price was going to go down. And the reason that everybody believed it was because everybody believed that the Fed was going to be raising rates, because that's what they were talking about. And everybody also believed that higher interest rates meant that gold had no place to go but down, because they didn't understand what was really going on, which was the point I was making the whole time, that there was no legitimate recovery, that there was no way the Fed was going to deliver on the rate hikes that it was promising, that QE wasn't over, they weren't going to shrink their balance sheet, that QE was just getting started, that this is early in the process, that the Fed's balance sheet is going to get bigger than $4.5 trillion. What's happening now is exactly what I expected to happen, and this is just getting started. We're so early in the game. People are just beginning to reprice gold based on these changing expectations. The whole picture still hasn't come clearly into focus. You know, most people, it's still a blur. But as they really see what's going to happen more clearly, then gold's really going to take off, because people are still talking about rate hikes. It's just that they're pushing back into the future when they're going to start. And now they think that, well, you know, rates are just not as much as we thought, and they're not going to start till later than we thought. The reality is they're not only not going to raise them, they're cutting them back to zero. They may even go negative, and they're going to do QE4.
QE4, I mean, it would have sounded preposterous just a month ago. I mean, we were looking for a rate hike by the end of 2016, maybe a rate hike up as high as two more quarter points, maybe end of this year, early next year. And now that's been tossed out the window thanks to Brexit, as well as, you know, the referendum in Italy. Tell us more.
You have this global financial system that's built literally as a house of cards based on cheap money and, QE and negative interest rates. anything that shakes investors' confidence is going to topple that house of cards. I mean, if we had a firm foundation for the global financial system, it wouldn't matter whether the UK was in the EU or not. I mean, what difference does it make? In reality, it's not that big a deal. But because of the phony nature of this global financial system, this global house of cards that the central banks have built, anything that goes wrong can topple it. And that's basically what's going on, right? It was a big bubble in search of a pin, and in a way, you know, Brexit was the pin. But it's not about the pin. It's about the bubble.
We've seen the XAU, the gold, the major gold shares index more than double. In fact, on route to perhaps even a 200% gain from nadir to peak or zenith just in 2016 alone. Tell folks why that may not just be a short covering rally. It might actually be sustainable buying.
This is real buying. This is just the early stages of the re-rating of gold and people starting to reprice gold shares to reflect what's going on. Remember, when the year began, gold stocks were priced to reflect, you know, $700 gold. That's where everybody thought it was going. And so now gold stocks are just catching up to, you know, $1,300 gold. Right now we're $1,370 or so. But we're going a lot higher than that. And I think this is still early on in the gold space. I mean, if you think you've missed out, I think, oh, these gold stocks have doubled or tripled so far this year. All they've done is recover ground they never should have lost. If you look at the long-term charts, we're still cheap. I would not be surprised to see these gold stocks up another 50 to 100% this year. I manage a gold fund, the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. We're up about 125% so far in the year, but I'd still be a buyer. I think it's still very, very early in the game. If you look at major Wall Street firms, none of these guys have buys on these gold stocks. Nobody owns gold stocks. They're completely underowned worldwide. The whole asset class has been completely shunned and discredited. And now, of course, it's rising like a phoenix from the ashes, and people still haven't caught on to what's going on. I do think that by next year, you're going to start to see more traditional money moving into the sector. But I think by then, prices, again, will be 50 to 100% higher than they are now, maybe more. I still think the easy money is being made. I mean, the easiest money was made in the last 6 months, but it's still going to be pretty easy compared to, I think, where we're going. And, you know, do I think these stocks are expensive? Not even close. I mean, they're not expensive historically based on where they've been just a few years ago. They're not expensive relative to the price of gold, and they're certainly not expensive relative to where I think they're going, which is going to be much higher than where they've been in the past.
I think that's an important concept for people to grasp, but it's time to ignore the gyrations and boost the portfolio with a component of these shares.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an example, I have one of my other mutual funds that I manage is the Euro Pacific International Value Fund. And that fund invests in global value stocks. And since I believe that gold stocks represented good value, I included an allocation to gold stocks in my portfolio. It's not a gold portfolio, and the majority of the stocks that we own are not gold stocks, but we did have a small allocation to gold stocks, which obviously is not so small now because we haven't pared it back as it's grown, but that's caused that fund to be the number one fund year to date, according to Morningstar, and we're outperforming the category by almost 40% on the year. I mean, it's unheard of. The average fund is down on the year, and my fund is way up, and the way I achieved that was, one, by not owning any financials, and the average fund has a very big weighting to financials, maybe 20% or more. The benchmark is almost 30% financials, and I'm zero. And then I had a weighting to gold, and of course, nobody else has any gold stocks. I'm probably the only fund. There's about 370 funds in that large cap value strategy, global large cap value. I'm sure I'm the only fund that even has a gold stock, and that's why I'm number one. And so eventually, as more fund managers want to try to, you know, generate some better returns, they're going to have to start thinking outside that box and adding some gold stocks to their portfolios. And believe me, you know, my mutual fund overall is pretty small, right? I'm a very small fund and I'm leading a huge pack. But when these bigger funds decide, hey, how is Euro Pacific Capital doing so well? How is this guy smoking us on returns? Oh, he's got some gold stocks. Maybe we should have some gold stocks. I mean, this is a very, very small pond. You get some big fish trying to swim in it, right? This could be an enormous, enormous rally. I can't really overstate enough how much I think the upside potential is in the space. Yes, there's downside risk if I'm wrong, but I think the upside potential if I'm right is enormous compared to what the risk is if I'm wrong. And I don't think I'm wrong. So people should be getting into this space. I mean, if you don't own physical gold, you know, buy some silver. I've been pounding the table on silver. Silver now just moved above 20 bucks. It got as high as 21 on Monday night when we were closers. But, you know, we were at 50 bucks in 2011. We're going to take that high out. I'm convinced of that. So you should buy some physical silver. You know, call me up at shiftgold.com, you know, shiffgold.com, or that's the website. You call us up, get yourself some silver, and buy some gold stocks. If you can handle the risk, if you're a speculative investor, this is the best speculative opportunity you're ever going to see, I think, is in this mining space. Yes, the prices are up, but not compared to where the stocks have been, and certainly not compared to where they're going to go. So you can do it yourself, or you can buy my fund. You know, you can buy it from me at Euro Pacific Capital. You go to Schwab, you go to Fidelity. It's the Euro Pacific Capital Gold Fund, ETGFX. Of course, there's a prospectus you can read, check it out, understand the risks. But I think it's the best gold fund out there. And so if you're going to be in a gold fund, you should be in mine.
Well, I share your thoughts. From 13.5 to 20 may seem like a big move, but you know, silver never eclipsed its 1980s peak, unlike gold, which was up more than two times its 1980s peak.
Yeah, silver kind of double topped up there. It got to 50 in 1980, and then it got back up to 50 briefly. Look, I think silver is going to be $100, $200 an ounce, maybe a lot more than that before this bull market is over. I think 20 bucks is still very cheap for silver. I mean, you know, is it as cheap as it was when the year began? No, but you know, you can't turn back time. I mean, you know, don't be mad that you didn't buy it earlier. Just be smart enough to buy it now.
You know, I think a compelling aspect of that story, even at $50, I mean, that's only the peak at 1980. When you start to bring in the inflation adjustments, not to mention the limited supply, and of course, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but in the next year or so, we're at peak silver production. And then the industrial aspects with solar panels and other makes it a really compelling play to where, you know, you could be looking, as you said, triple digit.
Yeah, and especially considering how poorly a lot of the other sectors are doing, particularly the financials. Look at the banks. The European banks are getting absolutely decimated, just decimated. U.S. banks are weak, not nearly as weak, but I think Europe is leading the way. I mean, these stocks are well below their Lehman crisis lows, whereas U.S. stocks are considerably above those levels. But if the European banks are already there, our banks are probably not far behind. And I think the Fed can, you know, read the writing on the wall here. And I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Fed to do something before, you know, we have a crisis in the U.S. And all they can do is print a bunch of money and cut rates. And that is going to send gold and silver prices ballistic.
Plus, we've seen the greenback roll over. It keeps getting beaten down at resistance levels. At a time when you would think the greenback would be soaring, you know, there's systemic currency issues throughout the global economy. Plus, let's also look at the gold to silver ratio in the 70 area, whereas the more traditional is 1 to 20, 1 to 15, 1 to 10. The mineralization is 1 to 10, you know, 1 ounce of gold for every 10 ounces of silver. Even if it just halves from current levels, you would have a doubling of your investment in virtually no time at all. So you're giving our investors sage advice today. Peter Schiff, tell folks more about Schiff Gold and anything else you're working on.
Well, I mean, Schiff Gold is my gold company, and that's where people can buy physical gold or silver or platinum. Don't forget about the other precious metal, platinum. You know, platinum is still cheaper than gold, and it's not going to stay cheaper than gold. I mean, historically, it's higher, so I think you've got a good opportunity to get some platinum. But you can get these metals at shiftgold.com. My brokerage firm, Euro Pacific Capital, that's where you can invest. I can help you pick a portfolio, which would include gold stocks, but would also include stocks that have nothing to do with the mining sector, but that are in good safe haven countries, real safe havens, like Switzerland, Singapore, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Norway. Good value, good dividends, get out of the dollar. You can either do that in a brokerage account or you can let me manage your money, either in my mutual funds, as I mentioned before, my global value fund that's doing so well this year, my gold fund that's, you know, incredible returns in the first 6 months of the year. The average international fund so far this year, in the first half of this year, global fund was down about 3%. That was the average fund. You know, my fund, I believe, was up better than 30% during the same time period. And that just shows you what's going on. I mean, we're, you know, our international investments are making money not because the global markets are going up, but because our strategy is working and our stock selection is working. But I think this is going to be even better once the global markets start to pick up, which I think they will when the Fed has to come clean. And when the dollar really starts to go down, that's when our strategies are going to do the best. And I think that the dollar decline has barely begun. It's gotten a bit of a lift from this Brexit, you know, because of this unwinding of carry trades. I mean, don't believe it's a flight to quality because the yen is much stronger than the dollar. And how can anybody think Japan is a safe haven? So it's not about safe havens. It's about unwinding of carry trades. When that's finished and the dust settles, this is a very, very negative dollar event that's going on right now. And when the dollar really starts to tank, that's when our strategies that have been doing great so far in the first 6 months of the year, they're just going to, you know, go into a whole new territory, I think, and do even better in that really weak dollar environment. So you can be in my funds, you can be in my separately managed accounts, but speak to one of the brokers at Euro Pacific Capital. Our website is europac.com, EUROPAC.com.
All right, Peter Schiff, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Hey, Chris, this is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. There is so much happening on so many fronts this week that the ability to decipher, process, and make sense of the chaos that is erupting, not just financially, but socially and politically as well, is at a point where there are so many important topics on the national and international stage, all of which require thoughtful analysis and meaningful response. But the volume of events and the compression of time is amplifying the feelings of stress, fear, and futility in the average person. The aftermath of the Brexit vote continues. Redemptions for six UK property funds are now frozen, which means over half of the UK's $32 billion in the property investment sector are now frozen. Horrendous violence has taken place in multiple locations throughout the U.S. One presidential candidate is openly accused by the media on an almost daily basis of bad business practices involving his private businesses, while another is openly acknowledged by the FBI director as having mishandled top-secret classified information that the director suggests could have potentially fallen into foreign hands, but he recommends no discipline. Then there was the lengthy Alan Greenspan interview on Bloomberg just over a week ago. Some think he is trying to redefine his legacy as a former gold bug in his sunset years now that he is 90. I hold a much different view of Mr. Greenspan's legacy, which I have commented on in segments over the years, having studied his work, that of Ayn Rand and Nathaniel Brandon, extensively. But I'll save that analysis for a rainy day. Greenspan did make a good point on Bloomberg. In fact, it was the takeaway of the interview, which the interviewers glossed right over because they were interested in getting on to their next question. Greenspan said, "Root productivity growth for more than two-thirds of the OECD countries, which are the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, made up of 35 countries, root productivity growth for more than two-thirds of the OECD countries has been less than one-half of 1% for the past 5 years. In other words, we have a general stagnation in developed countries, which is causing desperation on the part of the electorate. That desperation, as Greenspan calls it, is the greatest threat to economic stability, freedom, and safety. Because desperation simmers and can cause not gradual, measured change, but rather abrupt and sometimes volatile change that can produce unwanted and unintended consequences. This is the challenge we all face. I still know people happily going along thinking none of these issues are going to impact them, although the numbers of those people are getting fewer and fewer. The Brexit fallout and repercussions will impact you, regardless of where you live. The violence in the streets of America will impact you. The justice dilemma will impact you. The financial desperation that has permeated over two-thirds of the OECD countries has already impacted you. All of these occurrences send out various kinds of ripples. Ripples are amazing things. They send out a form of energy that cannot help but impact what lie in their path. When you respond to a situation with action or thought, you too send out your own ripples that interact with what's already there. Choose your responses wisely. Because remember, the future, your future, is not necessarily something you will have to endure, but rather, it is something you will create. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com, reminding you to follow us on Twitter at ConquerChange. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week. The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. Thank you.